Hello and welcome.
Should be has a few fucking cold ones.
Fucking hello and welcome to episode. I can't start with that either. That'll be good B-roll. Hello and welcome to episode 34 of Down Under the Ring podcast. I am your host, The Warship, joined as always by Finn McAwesome. Today, we're going to do a little bit of fantasy booking. That's right. The shit I do for like two-thirds of a podcast. Usually, we're going to do that for the whole thing today. We're going to talk Bloodline. We're going to book all that shit. Finn, how you doing?
Bro, amazing. It's been a busy week. The funny thing is, it's been a busy week work-wise, but also I've been trying to keep my shit together all week because I had bugger all sleep over the weekend because somebody decided to have a banger of a pay-per-view at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, look, the thing is, Sunday. It was super frustrating because I'm like, all right, I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to get up by 7 o'clock. I wake up at seven, I look at my phone, and it's like, oh, Tangaloa has debuted. Awesome. I missed most of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Even more awesome. Because I just assumed, you know, that's my bad. It's my fault because I was like, well, you know, usually at the moment we're doing start time seven, you know, get through the pre-show stuff. We kind of roll in towards that 8 o'clock real time begin over here in Perth. But no, it was a lot earlier. But I have to say, it is kind of a banger of a pay-per-view. Like, I quite liked everything we saw on there. It kind of gave me a little
It would have been a midnight start for you, wouldn't it?
Well, no, we're only 2 hours different, right? So
I think we're about three now.
We're 2 hours in the future. No, it's actually less now because daylight savings is finished. So, like, what time is it right now? As we record this,
10 o'clock.
Yeah. So as we record this, it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's only a couple of hours difference.
Starting at three, it would have been like 1 o'clock in the morning for you.
Which is kind of ridiculous because I pretty much just went to sleep. I would assume at that point, but. At the same time, yeah, it was all good. I went back, watched it all, went through it. I managed to avoid most of the other spoilers. But realistically speaking, this was a paint by numbers in not a bad way, in a pretty good way. But it was a paint by numbers pay-per-view.
And look, we've said this so many times on this show where being predictable isn't necessarily a bad thing if you deliver. Like, you can still put on a banger of a pay-per-view and have it entertaining as hell because it's still how you get to that point that's interesting. And I would say this entire show was not overbooked. It was, and I'm not even getting to the crowd yet, but like just as a match point of view, I think we only had 5 matches across 2.5 hours. It didn't feel like it was a drag to get from point A to point B. All the matches were really well paced, in my opinion. And they pulled out a surprise shocker that they managed to keep secret.
Yeah, look, and it's cool because I heard that Tangaloa was actually hired at the same time as Tamanhunga, but because Tangaloa was still fulfilling like the rest of the New Japan dates and everything, it didn't leak, which in today's world is kind of insane. Now, I have my concerns about the show. Like, I like the show. I thought it was really well put together, but there were a lot of foregone conclusions in it. I didn't think that Damian Priest was going to lose the belt. I didn't think that Bayley was going to lose the belt. Bayley was probably the only one that was a little bit in question for me, just because of the way that Tiffany Stratton has been getting pushed recently. I think the Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill thing was a foregone conclusion. I wasn't a massive fan of that.
I think they had to do that for Jade, right? If they're wanting Jade to look like a monster, they needed to give her a big one.
No, I agree with that. I wasn't a big fan of the match, though. Like, I have to say, I've seen a lot of discourse on the internet saying, hey, Jade Cargill, bit rubbish. I agree in some points, but I have to say, you're in the ring with three other pretty wily veteran wrestlers. It takes two to tango in this dance. So yes, almost everything that kind of went down was a little bit of a botch fest, but you can't blame Jade exclusively for that.
No, I mean, those three should have been able to hide Jade's flaws, right?
Exactly, right.
And it's crazy to think that Bianca Belair is now in veteran status.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I look at the situation and I see the finish of the match showed me that Jade's got something, because that transition, that whole segment where caught in the electric, in the powerbomb, transition to the electric chair drop, up and over into the Glamazon slam. Look, I don't like that as her finish, right? I've said that multiple times. I think the choke slam, even the choke bomb that she did on the show where she had the choke slam up into the power bomb, sick. Use that.
Yeah.
But that being said, that transition
that looked like a finisher.
It did. It did. It was like using your 2K24 character and booking, like just spilling their entire moveset out with other finishes, like because that was dead ass a finish. Aside from that, though, Cody and AJ, I liked a few things about that. I liked the fact that AJ wore purple gear and the kick pads that he wore were the same kick pads he wore when he beat Dusty for the NWA Championship. I thought that was cool.
Amazing little callback.
Exactly right. Really, really good. It did look like AJ was in the Judgment Day for a second, but outside of that, I think it was all good. And obviously the big news out of it is that Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga defeated Randy Orton and Kevin Owens with help from the legitimate actual son of Haku in Tangaloa. And I thought that was really good because we are starting to move towards this real definable different version of the bloodline. And today what we're going to do is we're going to sort of play a little bit of inside baseball with a little bit of figuring out sort of where we think it's going to go from here, because I've got my thoughts about it. I've got a lot of thoughts about it. Obviously, number one in my mind and in a lot of people's minds is, where is Jacob Fatu, who is arguably the more recognizable name in the Western world? I think we're probably going to see Jacob Fatu come through at the next major big thing that happens, whether it's a championship match or whatever it might be. I think we'll see Jacob come through there. Now, I've got a couple of thoughts about all of this. Sorry, you were going to say?
I was going to say, do you think that's SummerSlam?
It could be. It could be. And it could actually be the return of The Rock at SummerSlam. And that could lead us to Jacob Fatu coming through as well, because I think we saw some really interesting stuff this week. For me, the most notable thing was Randy Orton asking Paul Heyman, "Hey, Paul, who's the tribal chief?" And then Paul Heyman's response of, "You've put me in a really tough spot here, Randy. Obviously, we all know the tribal chief is," and then Solo and Tama Tonga attacked. Like,
and there was also that other point that happened as well, where he slipped up and was said he hasn't spoken to Roman Reigns since WrestleMania.
Yes, yeah. So, but everything we've seen is by order of the tribal chief, but really Paul has said, correct, no, that's me. I've been doing that on behalf of the tribal chief. So there are a lot of questions here. And I think that we're really leading towards this, like, original bloodline, bloodline gold, whatever it might be, the original bloodline black and white versus this NWO Wolfpack, the blood pack kind of vibe, which I think will signify the return of Roman Reigns. But before we get to the return of Roman Reigns, I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks now. And you remember when we were speaking a couple of weeks ago, we were like, what about if WWE sneaky bought TNA? And that's why we're getting these TNA references left, right, and center. That's why, you know, we got Jordan Grace come through. You know, there was a little bit of thought around that. Now, obviously, Tanahashi being the president of New Japan at the moment, there is a thought with all of the Rossi Ogawa stuff as well, and the mixed stardom and all of that. I was thinking the other day, I was like, what if they sneaky bought New Japan? If anyone in the world has the money and the power to do it, it's TKO. And I have to think that Trips would be pretty happy to have these ones, like all of these ones, personally.
All of them. Yeah, and look, from a business point of view, it's actually a really interesting situation with New Japan at the moment, because Bushiroad, as we all know, has owned both Stardom and New Japan for a long time, but they've actually filed and created their own company, which is New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is a separate company which owns New Japan and Stardom, and Bushiroad owns that company.
Yep.
So they've created another company, which is like a shell company that owns the other two companies. Usually you do that when you're trying to either separate the company for some reason to do with your other investments and all that sort of thing, or you're getting it ready to be able to offload.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, these are thoughts I'm just having now, because this week it came out that Nick Khan had put all of his stocks up for WWE, right? Like all of his shares in WWE for sale. What do we know that Nick Khan does? What is Nick Khan's job?
Nick Khan is a man that comes in and he makes companies ready to make more money by either selling or whatever.
So what do you think the chances are that New Japan and Nick Khan are about to do that again?
Okay. I don't think so. Me personally? Okay.
Yeah,
I don't think the odds are good there. One, Nick Khan is contracted until 2026, I believe.
I know he's staying there, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he has to only do that, particularly if they're trying to build like a bridge there, right?
Correct. The other one is, you touched on the fact that his stocks are up for sale. The thing you have to realize as well is his agreement, and it's super common for executives as well, is they're usually on a bonus deal where essentially every year they're issued more stocks as bonuses. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't mind picking, he's put up all of his stocks for sale. Doesn't mean that they're sold. It just means they're up for sale. Exactly the same as Vince McMahon's stock has not sold. There's a lot of people out there incorrectly saying that he had sold, but he hadn't.
I dropped it in our chat the other day
saying that he'd sold it, but he hadn't.
It's a little bit confusing.
He can sell all that
stock
that he's put up, but he will acquire more stocks over the coming years.
But we don't have the same deal in Australia as we do in America, because their financial year runs from the start of the year, right, to the end of the year. I would think that if it was here, I would be even more inclined to believe that that was the way it was going, because we're a month away from tax time. So, you know, in a month's time, he gets a replenish of those stocks.
Yeah.
But that being said, there's no reason they can't just issue more stocks the second he sells that $770 million worth.
My understanding is WWE don't issue the stocks on financial year, their bonuses. I believe usually it comes after Mania.
Yeah, and we're in that season anyway. So
yeah, correct.
Yeah, look, this is kind of like wanky and like business talk, and it's not really something that people are going to be super interested in. I just think that the idea that WWE has actually had the talk and said, hey, because we know obviously Tanahashi's got a lot more of that Western influence with everything as well. And there's like a lot more, I think that there's a lot more leaning towards a possibility, because if Triple H wants the Bullet Club, and we have been littered in this lead up to Cody versus AJ with lots of these ones, lots of these ones as well. And they even did it, you know, he's like, hey, too sweet me on SmackDown. And then AJ slapped a piss out of his mouth. Like, where we're really sort of leaning into that. Now that obviously throws a massive spanner in the Bang Bang Scissor Gang and the AEW side of things as well. Because if New Japan is sold,
That's what I said to you over the weekend. Imagine Tony sitting watching Backlash over the weekend, and the amount of Bullet Club references, straight up like mentioning Bullet Club,
yeah,
and yeah, going through the history of New Japan and all that sort of thing. He's going to be seething because he's like, I've worked hard to get this partnership and I've got the rights to use the Bullet Club name in America. And
yeah,
these guys are just using it. Like, he must be pissed. And arguably, WWE has all the best parts of the Bullet Club.
Look, from an SEO point of view, if I was Tony Khan, I would be pushing all of my Bullet Club shit to the top of the feed, because every time you click and you search Bullet Club, you should be getting AEW. But I just don't think that's going to happen right now.
He should have been putting tweets out at 4 a.m. or whatever time it was in the States saying, what is it? Bullet Club gold merch on sale. Use code Backlash.
Yeah. like seriously, like, we're at a point now where you think about like leadership, and also another person who has been really, really vocal about maybe going to WWE is Kenny Omega. When you think about that, in a year's time, we could have like most of the main members of the Bullet Club wrestling in WWE. Now, obviously excluding the New Japan people.
I even heard this week some big commentators, like analysts or whatever you want to call them, like Sean Ross Sapp and those sort of guys, bringing up the likelihood of from New Zealand, Fale. I believe the OC even said something about it on their podcast.
I'm talking shop.
Could Fale come over?
So this really leads into what I was saying before, this idea of like Bloodline Black and White versus the NWO Blood Pack, because they've made references to the Rogue Blood Pack. Now, for those who know your Bullet Club terminology, the Rogue Army is also a massive part of the lore. Now, it's really interesting it's really interesting. You know, they're using that specific terminology on commentary. Like, it's really, really interesting. So it's all possible. Like we've been saying, it could be all of it, all the stuff about New Japan, all the stuff about these. Like, because honestly, I think we're going to a spot here, and this is where we're going to talk about our booking thoughts and processes. I think that we're going to get this new version of the Bloodline really start to put the nails in right now. I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see Jay taken off TV as well in the coming weeks by them. Because he's lost his opportunity. There's not much left for him right now, other than Yeet and day one-ish, blah, 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 awesome entrance, all that stuff. Had a disappointing match at WrestleMania. There's time, I think, here to take Jay off TV for a couple of weeks. Now, I think what will happen...
And we haven't seen Jimmy since he got the beatdown.
No, exactly right. So I think we're going to lose the Usos completely from TV over the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to see the Bloodline reign supreme. I think Solo will end up getting a title shot. I think that it won't work the way that they want it to, because I think that in that title shot, Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa, that's where we'll see the return of Roman Reigns. Now,
and look, do you know where I can see that one happening? Clash at the Castle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is, I believe, was that where we saw the debut of
Solo? I think it might have been, actually, because I think he interfered in the Drew McIntyre match
definitely interfered in that match.
But I think that was the first time we saw Solo. We could be both wrong, like, obviously.
Yeah.
But I could see that being the thing. Now, I don't necessarily think that Roman's going to come out and spear Solo. What I think will happen is that it will look like Cody's going to win, and then Roman's music will hit. And in that moment, Solo's confusion will lead him to lose the match. Because I think from there, we're going to get a situation where Roman appears on Raw or SmackDown. I think it's Raw. I think the Bloodline are now drafted to Raw. And he will come out and he'll be like, I'm here to fix this. Because Paul, he'd been calling, but I've been drinking Mai Tais, having a good time. I've been out of it for a bit. but it's time to come home and fix my shit, because the Usos, they're both out. And it's because of you that they're out. But I ain't here to hurt you, because your family, we're bloodline, we're blood. And he's going to say, but it's time as the tribal chief to fall in line. And then he's going to put the ones up, and they're going to put the ones up with him. And that's the perfect time to debut Jacob Fatu. Because right then, bang, knocks him down. I think even before SummerSlam, that could be the better time to do it. Because really, you want to put this red herring out there that Solo Sikoa is claiming the tribal chief. Now, I don't know if you've paid attention to his gear, but he's wearing gloves. What does a glove signify?
I haven't noticed that he's been wearing gloves, actually.
He wears black gloves now. If you were, okay, so you haven't noticed it, but what does that signify to you?
I'll be honest, the person I think of when I think of gloves is Roman, but I don't know what you're getting at.
It's a hitman. That's a mercenary. That's a hitman. He's a muscle. So put the gloves on when you kill someone. Now, they're not like Drew Gulak getting killed off screen and legit being like killed.
Who?
Like
who?
Name redacted.
He's been deleted.
Yeah. These ones on TNA, which I think is also a red herring, but we get into that another time.
Same.
So what I think we're going to see is we're going to see them all happen. Roman's going to be down. They're going to be beating him up. And then you're going to hear that final boss music. And he's going to come out and he's going to say, look, man, you ain't the tribal chief no more.
You haven't been the tribal chief since April.
Because you know who fucking won at WrestleMania? Me. And you know who didn't? You.
You.
And that's it.
100%.
That's exactly, in my estimation, where they're going. If I gave you, if you're like, hand of God, gun to my head, that's what I think they're doing. And I'm totally okay with that, because it leads to WrestleMania 41 with The Rock versus Roman Reigns. And that's where they want to get. And it makes sense. Now, I think that we will reintegrate the bloodline things here. I think that during that year leading to that match, we'll get Kevin Owens. We'll get Sami Zayn, the Forgotten Son. We're going to see all of these elements weave back in. Cody Rhodes, the whole deal. I think that War Games this year will be Bloodline Original versus Blood Pack. I think it has to be that, but I think it will lead to Roman versus The Rock at next year's WrestleMania. That is what I think will happen, but it's not necessarily the fun shit as well, because we have to remember the fun shit too. And one of the fun shit things is I think The Rock gave Cody a piece of the Ulafala. And I think so because Cody Rhodes beat Roman Reigns in tribal combat, which makes him the new tribal chief. And then Cody turns heel and becomes Homelander, but also the new tribal chief.
That is fucking wild. This is one of those ones where I'm like, I don't want that to happen, but what if?
Good.
But should we do this? It's like, I don't know if you saw the joke which went around during the election of, and I don't want to get into politics, but the first Trump election, it was like, I don't want to vote Trump, but wouldn't it be crazy?
Wouldn't it be crazy if he actually won? There's no way we're that stupid that the entirety of America votes for Trump, and then it happens. But again, we don't do politics here.
That's sort of what I mean with Cody. It's like, I don't want it to happen, but
wouldn't it be crazy if it did happen?
Imagine if it did. Like, because obviously I don't think that. I think that the problem I've been seeing, though, is you get your sports kedias and your Liddy Wrestlings and all these places on all the socials.
You're talking about the reliable, reputable outlets for news.
Oh, hey, come on now, Paul. Be careful. You don't want to make Sean Ross that mad. Looking at the whole situation, it's like everyone has been posting all of Cody's comments about, you know, maybe kind of being a heel would be fun. And it's been a lot lately. Like, they've been doing it almost every single post. So there's just a little part, right, out of all of it. Because thankfully, I think our good friend Paul, I thankfully think that Paul understands that the road that is the most obvious, if told correctly, is the best road. I don't think we're going to get any of those things, but there's always a chance.
And WrestleMania was proof that doing the right thing, doing the obvious thing, was the right thing to do. You just had to make it compelling. Which, by the way, we all talked about how it was going to be the Avengers at WrestleMania. They are not even making it subtle that they're leaning into the MCU
WrestleMania
now.
WrestleMania forever.
Yeah, the posters that are coming out for King and Queen of the Ring are just straight up ripoffs of the Wakanda Forever poster.
The Black Panther posters, yeah, it really is.
And then you've got the announcements of everybody who's making themselves, you know, going ahead into the tournament. It looks like the Sling Ring from Doctor Strange.
Well, I'm a little bit worried about that because so far we've had like two people pull out, right, due to injury. Because Asuka's out, and so is Drew now. But I think that leads to Drew having a match at Clash of the Castle instead. Honestly, I think keeping him off is okay. He doesn't need the King of the Ring. It actually makes it a lot more interesting if Drew's not in it.
Agreed.
And I'm okay with that.
And look, it gives him something else to have a sook about for the next 2 months.
And he loves a good sook.
Oh, and look, I'm loving this sooky Drew. Like, upset, justified, angry, justified dickhead Drew is amazing.
Yeah, no.
I want to go back.
Yeah, let's do it. We're jumping around
here. Before we go too far ahead. Yeah. You brought up earlier about the Blood Pack being the rogue army and all this sort of thing. Now, this is some wild dream booking as well. Oh, speculation, right? This
yes,
is some
let's
wild
do it.
Speculation. Yeah, you know, Rogue Army, we all know who the leader of the Rogue Army is. It's Tox Valer in New Zealand, running the Tox Gym for New Japan, and he runs Tamashii over here in Australia as well. He's got his things going. But have we forgotten about another Polynesian from New Zealand who's contract was up in January, who's left Japan, and who tweeted on Sunday a blood drop. And nobody's noticed.
No, it's been super under the radar. Really under the radar.
To be completely transparent, this is a friend of Shippy and I.
Yeah.
We don't know shit, by the way.
No. No conversations. Zero.
No conversations have been had. But a friend of ours, this is Henare from New Japan. And I bring this up because the Blood Pack, of to use what you're calling them, you know, they're starting to bring in non-Samoan Polynesians.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I understand that there is a historic connection with Haku, and bringing in both of Haku's kids makes sense that way. But what if they are building a New Japan stable of Polynesians?
It's interesting.
Why not have a Māori guy in there?
It's really interesting, and it leads to a lot of questions
We know that, and we know that Henare has left Japan.
Yes, yeah. So I guess the question is that what is the end goal for it all? You know, like, what are we leading towards?
Because I mean, if you're going to have the original bloodline, you've got what, Roman, the Usos, potentially you could chuck what's his name in there,
Sammy
in there as well, and then you've got Blood Pack, which is Solo, Tangaloa. Tongaloa and Jacob
Fatu.
Yep. So you've got four on four there. Do you need another one on each side? Because
you do, because you've got the Rock.
But that's what I was going to say. Rocky's going to be over here, right?
Yeah.
Do we need another one over here?
Is it Cody? Like that's the thing, and that's the wonder is that, again, we've been saying it for weeks and weeks. Wrestling's interesting. Wrestling's special. It's new. We never know what's going to happen. And that's the beauty of what we're dealing with.
And we're getting genuine surprises again, which is amazing. The fact that they're able to hide these leaks and not have it happen, like Tangaloa, literally flew into a country and wasn't seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And like we even go back a month and Undertaker, no one knew he was going to come out. Like,
well, the people in his bloody skybox had no idea he was booked.
He just left.
He just up and left. You go watch his podcast from a couple of weeks ago. He was in there chilling, watching the show. He gets up, walks out, and everyone just assumed he'd gone for a piss, but he didn't come back for 3 hours.
Yeah. That's it. Like, we're getting those surprises again. You see, even he said, he's like, KFA been dead for me, brother. Like, and that's the thing is that we're getting to a point now where can Paul do it? Can Paul resurrect kayfabe? It's possible based on what we've seen lately.
And the thing is, it's like, I think traditional kayfabe is dead.
But that's
traditional living the gimmick 24 hours a day, all that sort of thing. I think that is dead. What I think is not dead is this, I think there's a new form of kayfabe, right? It's keeping secrets. It's people like AJ Styles who, even though the crowd was chanting his name and singing that ridiculous song, which was amazing.
I'm not agree with that. I fucking hated it.
I loved it. I thought it was cool, but he didn't crack a smile at all. All that sort of thing. Like, he did break kayfabe today on Twitter and thank France for that.
Yeah.
But you know, he keeps the bad guy gimmick going. Drew's the same.
Yeah.
He's keeping the gimmick going live on social, all that sort of thing. So I think we've just got an evolved version of kayfabe. But the big one is keeping secrets. I've heard you say it a million times, you know. Telephone, telegraph, tell a wrestler. Usually you can't keep secrets.
No. Well, that's the thing is that I think this is the evolved version of kayfabe. I think that we're moving away from wrestling's not real into, it's a show, but you're not going to know what we do until it happens, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's
If Hollywood can keep secrets now, which they never, you know, leaks were coming out of Hollywood all the time, like up to 5 years ago, we're now getting surprises again. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen in Deadpool. Apparently,
I'm so excited for that shit. Like, my God. completely off wrestling topic right now. But Cassandra Nova being like the main antagonist at Deadpool 3. I'm so in for it. Also, can we just talk about how much fucking swearing is in that trailer? Like, there's like six times they're like, fuck off.
An entire segment about cocaine.
Yeah. They said we can't talk about cocaine. Like, and then the whole thing is just about that. Like, look.
Amazing. But also, I don't think Cassandra is the real bad guy in that movie.
I'm so excited for it. I really, really am. I love what they're doing with it. I'm super keen. It's completely outside of it. Maybe we should do a movie podcast as well, but that's for another conversation. Because as a big X-Men mark, like a massive X-Men mark, I just love the little references, you know, so I'm keen as shit for that. But you know what else I'm keen as shit for is you guys, you can see in the corner up there, I've got my little Anchor Club championship belt right there. But, man, I have to tell you, those SmackDown championships, they are sexy. And I wouldn't mind getting one. I really, really wouldn't mind. Do you know anywhere I could do that?
Well, look, I was thinking the same thing. I've got a couple of spots in my little set here which have got some holes and stuff like that. And I was looking at the SmackDown titles as well. And luckily, I just happened to find a link, which super conveniently was actually in our bio and in the description of this video and in the bio of this podcast, which takes you through to WWEshop.com.
Oh, wow. WWEshop.com. Wow.
WWEshop.com, where you can actually pick up right now the new WWE World Tag Championship replica title, as well as, if you missed out on Backlash, they've got a heap of merch available for Backlash France. And, remember the event. You can grab some merch there. And, it's all available there. They've got amazing sales happening at the moment as well. So
really old Parlez-vous Pro Wrestling Do you speak pro wrestling? Because I did high school French, so clearly I know everything. Je m'appelle the warship. Je suis fatigué. But it's okay because I could be tired. I can be sad. But if I'm wearing that new men's black Cody Rhodes smelting logo sleeveless hoodie, I think I'll be just a little bit less fatigue. I think I'll be pretty damn happy about that. And I can get it at WWEshop.com using the link in the description of this podcast.
And look, if you're an Australian or a New Zealand viewer, it's getting a bit chilly, and that would be a dope hoodie for going to the gym in, because, you know, you still want to get the guns out.
I'm wearing a completely black turtleneck right now. You can sort of see they're getting there because, you know, your boy, he's gonna do some shit again real soon. More information to come on that. But we're going to do some shit. In fact, I think next week maybe I'll be going in to get my hair put back in. For those who remember, I used to have some pretty sick dreadlocks, so they're going to come back in really soon.
I'm just thinking about when last time I saw any videos or footage of you with dreadlocks.
Yeah, interesting, hey. But hey, look, hey, more to come at some point soon. Now, I want to know what you guys think too.
I've also noticed your backdrop's looking very green and black at the moment, so.
Yeah, look, there's a little bit of that too, but hey, let's just leave that as it is. I do want to know what you guys think, though. What do you think about our stupid booking here? What do you think about this whole Bloodline versus the Blood Pack thing? Who's the tribal chief? Put that in the description. Wherever you can, I don't know where you can post stuff. Wherever you can write a comment, do that. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on X. I want you to tell us, who's the tribal chief? Who's the tribal chief?
Who is?
And put it so that we know that you've listened this far in to the podcast. I want to know who the tribal chief is. You're going to tell
Just drop a comment in the YouTube, or just send a tweet as a reply to the tweet about this show. No other context, just
who's the tribal chief?
Tribal chief is.
And then we'll know that you're listening, because we know you are. We know so many of you are. But hey, say hello.
And saying that, the other thing I'd like to ask everyone is, because we've had a few people bring it up, what's the interest in Down Under the Ring merch? What do you want? Do you want shirts? Do you want hats? Do you want hoodies?
This great idea for a shirt. I've been talking about it. I said to you today, I want to talk about it on a podcast because I'm going through some tattoo designs because I found a really good place nearby where I work. And I'm like, it's time. If I'm gearing up for this thing that I'm not going to tell you about quite yet, I want to come back with some good tattoos, right? So I'm looking at getting like a bit of a blue demon gimmick going on some of my body here. And I was thinking about this shirt idea, right? El Santo in the streets, blue demon in the sheets. I think that will be an excellent shirt because you got the Rudo, you got the heel side of things. You got the face side of things. Like, I don't know. I'm a big fan of dumb wrestling merch, and, you know, obviously with the WWE shop stuff that we've got. In fact, if you go check out my merch, Fourth Wall, The Warship, there'll be a link in the description. Most of it's cum jokes, you know, like I'm a big fan of stupid shit. So I think that it'd be cool to do something for Down Under the Ring.
I think that'd be a good point as well. If there's anything, because I'm dumb when it comes to, we say shit and people, the show's over and we forget the dumb shit we've said. Like, but what have we said in the show that has stuck with you that would make great merch for us? Oh,
I know this is going to cause me to do some more editing, but like things like, hey, run the LA Knight moment of the week.
Let me talk to you.
That's something I have to edit in right now. I wasn't planning on doing any editing. I was like, hey, this is a pretty good podcast. We could just run it as is. But you've just heard the thing. You know, we've got plenty of stuff like that. Obviously, we've been doing this shit now for 34 episodes. It's actually more like 40, but we've fucked up a few, including last
technology
week.
Technology has been rough to us, like literally probably for the last 2 months. If any weeks that you have not heard us or haven't seen us pop up on your feed on YouTube,
yeah,
it's not because we haven't recorded a show. It's because technology has failed us.
Like, legit, last week we had a banger of an episode with some awesome, awesome content. And then I went to edit it, and my voice was like 4 seconds behind your voice, and there was no way to fix it because it was all one layer and it was just fucked. So hopefully this one goes all right, because otherwise we'll be waiting another week. But yeah, so we've been doing this now every single week for the last almost a year, and we're really, really thankful for each and every one of you who does stick by, who does listen to every single podcast. If you've listened to every podcast as well, drop a little bit of a message on the old post that will go out for this episode, because we really, really want to give back to you guys as well. So we want to make sure that, you know, we appreciate what you guys do, because you don't have to listen. There are so many white guys who do a fucking podcast about wrestling, and we're really grateful that you choose us two, sometimes three, to be the ones that you listen to for that.
And look, since you're thanking people for that, like, yes, like, we do this, and we're thankful for them being here. But the one thanks I want to give everyone is, because everybody listens, because you all pay attention to what we have to say, and some of it's dumb, some of it's interesting, but you know, you come along every week. Because of you guys, we've actually got the opportunity to do some really freaking cool shit over the last year, and arguably stuff that people that have podcasted for longer than us have had, you know, have waited longer to get the opportunity. We've been to a WWE PLE by invitation of WWE. We're sponsored by WWEshop.com. We've been sent really cool shit. Like the opportunities, 2K doing stuff with us. You know, it's all been thanks to everybody supporting us. So,
yeah, big thank you to everyone. Like, legitimately, like, going to the PLE and not worrying about anything, being treated like a superstar, even though we got in trouble for it, walking down that aisle and filming that little dumb TikTok, like walking into the venue, you know, all of that was just incredible. Going to the 2K event was awesome. Being in the box was awesome. I love being in a box. And just in general, like, you know, the fact that Triple H and like all of the stuff around the announcement of Elimination Chamber coming here, we were sent that before pretty much anyone in Australia.
We got the Triple H announcement, which no one else got, which was huge.
Yeah. So, like, just a big thank you to everyone. And like, we're just getting started with this, you know. They've been talking about it. We've been saying, like, I think it was Chris Van Vliet who said that most podcasts end sort of after the seventh one, right? And if you can get past that, you're doing a good job. This is episode 34, which is really episode about 44. we don't plan on stopping that anytime soon. Yeah, we get busy. No. Yeah, we do other shit. But at the end of the day, we're just a guy who used to do this and wants to do it again, and a guy who's been watching it for the longest time. And we love wrestling, and we love being able to share our thoughts on it with you guys. And we're super grateful that we get the chance to. So thank you.
And absolutely. So,
but we'll enough snappy
tech pending.
look, I think we're well past the sappy bullshit at this point. I'm a brain bust, every one of you. I'm a spear. I can't spear anymore. I'm not allowed to. That's kind of depressing. But I'm going to do all those things.
I can vouch that he will chop you.
I will. And it will be beautiful. Thank you guys, honestly, for being here through every one of these episodes. Thank you for listening to our bullshit, because honestly, sometimes we just rant and it goes way longer than it should. And I'm still talking right now. And why am I still talking right now? But thank you. Thank you for being here for 34 episodes. And as always, we'll see you down under the ring.